You and I have been created unique. There is no one on planet Earth who is like you. Your body is unique to you, whether it be your unique fingerprint, the shade color of your eye that is slightly different to everybody else's. Your ears have a unique shape. I learned that. Your ears have a unique shape and they actually never stop growing. And your heart beats to its own rhythm. God has created your body for you, and he expects us accordingly to look after it while we're on this earth. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 says this: Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. God has created every human with a soul. This is the place where we're designed to connect with God. It's also the place of the real you, your personality, your character. This soul connection is the one we find Jesus talking about in John 15, verse 5, when he says, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." We are designed and meant to be in connection with God and to stay connected to God. Now, as much as the body, both the body and the soul, plays a part in this life that we're living right now, our soul is actually what will take us into, what we will take with us into eternity. If we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior today, if we've asked for his forgiveness from our wrongdoing, then eternity in heaven with him awaits. For those who choose to ignore God's message of salvation, the Bible tells us that hell awaits, the place of eternal separation from God. It's not a nice thought. It's why it's our role as believers in Jesus to live for Christ, to share our faith at every opportunity with those who don't or haven't heard about the good news of the gospel. As Jesus himself said in Mark 16, verse 15 to 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Jesus makes it clear, but he also gives us that freedom of choice. Equally, because we know that our soul is to go to heaven and to go to eternity with us, it's imperative that we learn how to protect our soul. I'm sure you'd agree with me, we live in a world that is more often than not challenging to our morals and our faith. All around us, we have people telling us how to succeed and make the most of life. We have others telling us that possessions, relationships, or money will make us happy. Where what the Bible says is sin is actually promoted as being fine. We live in a world where we're constantly under a microscope and judged for decisions that we make. And that's before we take into account all of the war, discord, jealousy, disease, broken homes, murder, abuse, and etc. that we see. Friends, this morning we are in a war. And it's not against flesh and blood, not against the world, but it's against the spiritual powers in the heavenly realms. Our adversary, our enemy, the devil, uses the influences of this world to blind people to the truth of God and to seek to destroy your relationship with God. It's a fact. The enemy doesn't like you. He hates you. He's out to destroy you. You might think that it doesn't affect you, but it does. Every believer in Jesus and every unbeliever is affected whether we want to recognize it or not. Every time an attack comes our way, whether it be through our eyes, our minds, our words or our actions, one of two things will happen. Either you will give in to the world's influences, allowing it to chip away at your soul, or you'll stand and you'll fight. Will you stand and fight? Or will you be influenced by the world around you? Because God wants you to stand and fight. It's why Proverbs 4 verse 23 says this: "Above all else, guard your heart. For everything that you do flows from it. Everything we see and we hear as a result, sometimes think about, and in certain circumstances we'll speak or act upon, has an impact on how we live our lives, whether that's consciously or subconsciously. This is not something that we can ignore and hope it won't affect us. We need to be aware of what we're up against. We need to fight against it. And at key moments in life, we need to do a soul detox. A soul detox. It's why we're doing this at the beginning of a new year. It's always good to realign, reset if need be, our priorities, our hearts, and our souls. So a few weeks ago, as I said, we started a new series called Soul Detox, which seeks to help us understand the importance of guarding our souls, but also, when required, learning how to get rid of the toxic influences of the world so that we can keep our relationships with God healthy. There are four key elements we need to be watchful over. It's our eyes, that was in week one, our words, which was in week two, and our minds and our actions. If you missed those first 2 weeks, the eyes and our words, you can check out our church website. It is in the media section. You'll see it, you'll find it, you'll be able to catch up, because those two are really, really important. This morning, as we continue our part three of the series, we're going to be looking at the impact that our mind has on the spiritual health of our souls. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn me to two different places? So you might want to put a finger in, or if you've got one of these little, whatever they're called, like a bookmark, you can put it in. It's Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9, and Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, we'll start with that. Romans 12, verse 2 says this: "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And if you skip over to Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is trustworthy or anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Soul detox. What does it mean for us to protect, to detox at times, our minds? Did you know that our mind is the most complex organ in the body? Did you know that your brain activity generates 12 to 24 watts of electricity, which is enough power to light a small light bulb? That's pretty cool, isn't it? The average person has between 16,000 and 70,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts. Your brain storage is considered to be unlimited. Your brain neurons, when stimulated, can send information to different parts of your body at over 268 miles an hour. That is quicker than a lot of supercars. That is quick, isn't it? That is quick. 268 miles an hour. Poof. I like this one. Taking a nap can improve your brain's productivity. They don't ever say, "Oh, you haven't done that." It helps with your productivity. And meditation can renew our brain's pathways. Think about that one, because we're going to look at it a little bit. Meditation can improve and renew brain's pathways. So throughout the day, we have thousands of thoughts that appear in our minds. You may be thinking of some of these or others. From things we need to do, to analysing a conversation you had with someone earlier, work tasks, how to eat better, how to exercise more, to what you want for tea later, very important thing. Big life decisions that need to be made, thoughts for the future, thoughts that make it, we might have thoughts that make us fearful, anxious, hopeful, happy, angry, sad, thoughts about our identity, tempting thoughts that we have to give in to sin, and thoughts to question what we believe. I mean, just reading that list makes you tired. Just so many thoughts that can go through our heads. With so much going on in our minds in any particular day, is it any wonder then that our thoughts and our thought processes is one of the biggest battlegrounds for the health of our souls? You get your head sorted out, your soul kind of follows after. Now, the Bible, as in most circumstances, in all circumstances, in fact, has much to say about the mind. Psalm 94, verse 11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. We mentioned that a little bit before, didn't we? To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That's a big prayer, isn't it? You ever ask God to try your thoughts? And see if there's any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And then Romans 8, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, those worldly influences, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How is your thought life? I am not going to ask you. Do you think about the right things, though, that are wholesome and good? Or do you let the things of this world invade your mind? I think the best way to answer this question truthfully, though, is this. Imagine with me for a moment that behind me on this screen, your thoughts are just about to be done on video so that everybody can see exactly what you've been thinking in the last 48 hours. Any takers? Makes us think, doesn't it? Makes us think, would it make us be happy or would we want the ground to swallow us up? Would we run away quick? How is your thought life? The best way for us is always to think, what does God want? I guess probably most of us wouldn't want to see the contents of our life, as we've already said, displayed for the whole world to see. For every one of us, our thought lives are a real, very real battleground. The Apostle Paul, one of the history's greatest evangelists, church planters, who wrote nearly 25% of the New Testament, struggled with his thought life. I wonder if you've ever felt like this. Romans 7, verse 15 to 20. It is a bit confusing, so we'll try and take it slow. But it says this. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I do, I hate. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It's quite complex, isn't it? Bit of a tongue twister. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. Basically, what he is saying is, we don't think upon the things that we should. Most of the time, and a lot of the time, we at times give in to our sinful nature. The enemy, the devil, will try every trick in the book to penetrate your soul and cause you problems. The thoughts that start in your mind, if they get dwelt on, will in some way be outworked in our lives. Whether that be through our words, or even harder at times, our actions. If you're anything like me, at times I feel like my brain can get so cluttered with negative thoughts, tempting thoughts, and other problems. And the truth is, if they're not dealt with properly at the source, eventually it will seep into my soul. It will perhaps become, it'll be unhelpful, for sure, but sometimes it will even bring sinful outcomes. Luke 6, verse 45 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Does your mind need uncluttering this morning? Have you allowed the influence of the world to chip away at your soul through what you think and what you believe? Is your thinking healthy, kind, uplifting and true? Or is it critical, self-conscious, condemning, a lie? For most of us, there'll probably be a bit of everything. But I think for all of us, there is some decluttering and there's some detoxing to do of the things that we allow ourselves to think. Are you still with me? Good, good. How do we make sure then that we keep a healthy mind and thus a healthy soul? First thing I want to say is this, if you're making notes. Don't believe everything that you think. Don't believe everything that you think that goes through your mind. Just because you have a thought come into your head doesn't make it true, and it doesn't necessarily make it helpful either. On any given day, depending on my situations, and this is my situations here, but I'm sure you can relate, I can have a thought that says I'm not good enough, to I have no value, I'm a bad dad, a bad husband, a poor friend. Those are the kind of things that can go through our heads. But it doesn't make it true. Here's the thing, not everything that comes into my mind is of me. Some of it will be of the enemy seeking to cause disruption in my life. If I take it as truth, all of this stuff, I begin to buy into the enemy's lies. What we should do is not to conform to what the world says, but rather to weigh up what we see in Scripture. Our key reading from Romans 12, verse 2, let's look at that again, says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, and this bit here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't believe everything that you think, and believe that it's true. Don't believe the enemy's lies that says you have to give in to that sin again. Don't believe the enemy's lies that says that you're not a good dad or a good mum or a good friend or a good person. Don't believe the enemy's lies. What we have to say is this. Do my thoughts that I weigh up with what God says about me? If I'm struggling with the thought that I can't do something, I'm not good enough, I need to remind myself of what Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we've got stuff that we know not to be true, sometimes there might be things that are true, and actually need to ask God to help us deal with it. But don't believe that everything that goes into your mind is true, because it is not. Secondly, take your thoughts captive. The first thing we need to acknowledge is that however hard we try, there will be moments when negative, critical, unhelpful, or sinful thoughts will come into your mind. Why? Because we still have a sinful nature that wants to take back control. It's why we need to die to self on a daily basis. We need to pick up our cross and follow him, as Scripture tells us. It's reminded ourselves that we no longer live for self, but we live for Christ. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Don't no longer be put on that yoke of slavery. It's not yours. When unhelpful thoughts come our way, rather than dwell on them or worry about them, which will only give them power and influence, the Bible tells us to be proactive, to take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now the Greek word for captive is, and I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway, achimalatizo. And all the people who speak Greek out there will be able to correct me after, but that's fine. But it's achimalatizo, which means to control, conquer, and bring into submission. There is no thought that comes into your mind that can't be dealt with the power of Christ. You're not broken. You're not beyond help. God is there to help us to transform our minds. So how do we practically take our thoughts captive, and how do we protect our minds and our souls? We need to be ruthless. My next point, be ruthless. When we moved to our current house a year ago, there was a whole load of personal stuff that Erica and I had collated, and the kids had collated in the few years we've been at our last property. Deciding what to get rid of and what to keep was a hard process. I'm naturally quite ruthless. If I don't have a use for it, I'll toss it. Case in point, I moved house and I was looking through some stuff that was mine from childhood. And I went, oh, there's some old exercise books there. Old exercise books. When am I really going to look at those again from my childhood? Chuck them in the bin. My wife hyperventilated. What are you doing? That's your childhood memories. Erica, when am I going to look at them again? Probably next time I move. I don't really need them. Erica finds it a little bit harder to kind of, she's a bit more of a hoarder when it comes to things. The problem many of us have with taking thoughts captive is we're not ruthless enough. Whether it be we enjoy contemplating a temptation, whether we believe the way we think about ourselves is justified, or certain thoughts bring us comfort, or we hoard our thoughts because that's what we've always done. And we think that it's easier to do it that way. But not realizing that actually dwelling on these things will actually bring more trouble in the long run as they chip away at your soul. Those things that you think about yourself will chip away at your soul. If you think you're rubbish, you'll begin to believe that you're rubbish and that you're no good. It will chip away your soul until you become just a prisoner to all of these things. I believe that God wants you and I to be ruthless with the things that carry no true value. How can we decipher what is helpful and what is not? Our reading from Philippians 4 verse 8 says this: you can measure up your thoughts against this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. So it's the thing you're thinking about, true. If it's not, don't think about it. Is it noble? Is it right? This is a biggie. Is it pure? If it's not pure, why are you thinking about it? Why am I thinking about it? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? And if you're thinking about it, would God go, wow, well done? Is it praiseworthy? Think about such things. Nothing in there does it say thinking about temptation, you know, those things that we should. Nothing in there does it say devalue the way that you think about yourself. Nowhere in there does it say about devaluing and kind of holding a vendetta about someone who's hurt you. Think about good, wholesome, and right things. Are you still with me? Good. To be ruthless means to show no mercy. You have a thought you know is wrong, throw it out your head before you have time to dwell on it and act upon it. Once you've done that, one of the best things that you can do after you've chucked it out is replace it with something good, right, and wholesome. Focus your mind on Christ. The only thing that carries true lasting value is Christ himself. It's why the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Technology is great. I like it. But it's not the be all and end all of life. So don't make it. Don't be always thinking about that next technological breakthrough that you want. You want to get that latest iPhone or whatever it might be, or whatever other phone you might have. It's not all about that. Thinking about things that have eternal value. See, it's knowing Christ, spending time in his presence, talking to him about what you're struggling with will all help you overcome those thoughts that seek to chip away at the health of your soul. It's not like God doesn't actually know what you're already thinking. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you can kind of go, it's all right, God, I'm going to hide this one away from you because I have super encryption in my thinking. You cannot hide anything from God. We should kind of make this feel a little bit like, oh, what's going on there? Do I want God knowing what's going on and thinking about these things that I'm thinking about? Is it healthy? Is it right? No, it's not. I need to do something about it. We need to win the battles for our mind. He can help us to process and to win that battle if you allow him. Meditate on God's word. It's the next point as we're drawing things to a close. One of the most effective ways to win the battle of our minds is to immerse ourselves in scripture and to do meditation. Not the weird meditation, not the new age meditation, scriptural meditation. Because what you're doing is when you meditate on God's word, you're feeding yourself. You are looking at the things above, not the things of the earth. You are concentrating things on things that are holy and right and true. Joshua 1 verse 8 says this, and this is what kind of God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, which is the Bible, or the Old Testament in that time, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have great success. If it's good enough for Joshua, it's good enough for us. Need to do the right things. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. So what does it mean to meditate on God's word? Well, there's lots of descriptive words, but some of the ones I've thought about are this. It means to chew over, spend time dissecting, allowing scripture to get into your heart, learn from it, pray through it, learn it. Why? Because doing this is God's truth. And it is the antidote to the enemy's lies. It is life-giving, but even more than that, meditating on God's word can realign your brain's pathways, helping our whole thinking process. Meditating on God's word literally can change your life. Those things that you used to think about can be changed by allowing yourself to focus on God's words. So I've got a little bit of application for you to do this week. I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not going to draw people up to the front of church next Sunday morning unless they want to come up and say. But I want you to think about this. I want to set you a challenge to meditate on a scripture verse during the week ahead. You can meditate on anything, but I think this one's a good one to meditate on. Psalm 46, verse 10 says this. Be still and know. We're in a busy world, aren't we? Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. What I want you to do, I want you to read it at different times in your day. I want you to write your thoughts down. I want you to learn it, pray through it, use it as an antidote to the thoughts that seek to take your soul captive. I want you to seek to do that for a week. And I want you to come back next Sunday and tell me whether it's made a difference. Because I believe that if we do this and we do this right, it will make a world of difference to you. A lot of us here need to be still and know that he's God. Not be busy and run around like a head machine. We need to be still and know that he is God. The last thing I want to say to you is this, that when it comes to conforming our minds and transforming it and protecting it, it's a journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Learn to protect our minds is not a once-only deal, but it's a journey, a process to become more like Christ. That reading again from Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewal, it takes time. It takes time to become the person that God wants you to become. If you stop doing the things that you know are right to do it, you will just stay where you are. You need to continually be changing your thought processes. Continually asking God to help shape your mind. It's simply this. The better I know, learn to know Jesus, the more I'll turn from the ways of the world and look to Christ for my answers. The more I will understand God's will for my life and will experience the power of God at work in my thinking, in my thoughts, and as a result in my words and in my actions. We will make mistakes. But the key is to keep fighting. Keep doing the right things and take captive the thoughts we have that would seek to chip away at our soul. I want to ask you that question again this morning that we started with. How's your thought life? How's your thought life? Does it need work? Have you noticed that some of those thoughts are chipping away at your soul and chipping away at your identity of who you are in Christ? If that's the case, a challenge to you is to come back, let God do the work that he needs to do. Let him chip away those things that are wrong and let him refill it with the things that are good. Because we've read in the scripture before, thinking about things of the world, it just brings death. But those thinking of the Spirit brings life and peace. That's about you, my life and peace. It's a really big thing. And I would guarantee that, including myself, that every person in this place has not got it totally sorted. Be in different places, probably. But whether you think you're doing really good or whether you think you're doing really bad, you still need to look at this. You need to ask God, is there anything, any way in me that needs changing? See, in conclusion, if we can win the battle of our minds, then we'll go a long way to making sure that we keep our souls healthy. May we go into each day understanding the battle we face, being prepared to question what we think and take captive our thoughts, and in turn learn the importance of being ruthless with our thoughts, focusing our minds on Christ and immersing ourselves in Scripture. We are on a journey that lasts our whole lifetime. But the closer we seek to draw to Christ and the further we distance ourselves from away from the influences of the world, the healthier our souls will be. Our souls are so important because they are what connect us to God. May we do everything to protect them because it really is of eternal, eternal importance. What are we thinking? How are we thinking? What do we need to do to change the way that we're thinking? Let's pray together, shall we?